Jesus turned the world's standards upside down when he said, "He that would be the greatest among you must be the servant of all."
Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, he is wise, he's powerful, and he calls us to put our faith in him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That is what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And this is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about heroes. We've been talking about faith, and I've had at least one rather irate letter from a listener who said to me, "Why all this talk about heroes? Don't little people matter? So what if you don't have a college education?" Well, let me talk about that last question first. So what if you don't have a college education? I was just talking with Linda and my friend Judith Bynum today as we were going to lunch about colleges. They're getting so outrageously expensive, and kids seem to be learning less and less and getting into more and more trouble. I wonder if we shouldn't go back to the medieval system of just having brilliant men who would gather around them a small group of 10 or a dozen people who were really eager to hear what that particular man could teach. And maybe in a crash course of 18 months or 2 years, far more would be learned and far more gained with that system than the college and university system. But you can be sure that my idea is not going to be adopted. I just come up with all these brilliant solutions to what I see as various problems. But I do want to make it clear that I don't think God is very impressed with BAs or MAs or PhDs or any of the rest of them. It's just a question of what God gives to you to do and what your responsibilities are in being a steward of those gifts, whether they be intellectual gifts or whatever. And it's an interesting topic to me because my father was a graduate of the University of Pennsylvania and was a Phi Beta Kappa man, the highest honor that could be conferred at that time. My mother, on the other hand, never went past high school, as most women didn't in her day. There were the exceptional women who went to Wellesley and Radcliffe and Vassar and some of those women's fine women's colleges, but the majority of girls really didn't think about going to college. Mother said it never crossed her mind because it never crossed her father's mind. Her mother had died when my mother was only 12, and she had a stepmother, but it was not in the cards for her to go to college. And we used to often tease our parents about that, and my father would sort of wink when we got a report card with all A's. He would always gesture toward mother at the other end of the table and say, "Well, that's where the brains are." My husband, Ad Leach, who did have a doctorate, used to belittle that. He used to say it doesn't tell a person anything about how smart a man is. It only tells how long you went to school. You may need a college degree for a qualification for a job, but wisdom, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're wise. A PhD, well, keep things in proportion. Not everyone ought to go to college. So to this listener who didn't appreciate the fact that I was making heroes out of certain people, I think misunderstood me. I certainly have never meant to say little people don't matter. People without a college education don't count. Nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus turned the world's standards upside down when he said, "He that would be the greatest among you must be the servant of all." And he demonstrated what he meant by that when he washed disciples' feet. He said, "If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, then you must wash one another's feet." Sometimes we get overqualified in our own minds for doing the very thing that God caught us out to do. And I saw some missionary attrition missionaries leaving the field because they felt that their preparations and their qualifications were not being properly appreciated. And I think of how Amy Carmichael used to always say, the people that we need here on the mission field are people who are prepared to do whatever needs to be done. Now, heroes is not a bad term. We're not all created equal in stature. We're not created equal in IQ, equal in beauty, or temperament, or athletic prowess. And 1 Corinthians 12 is very clear in its teaching that we have different gifts. And because we have different gifts, we have different responsibilities. This equality idea has really gotten out of hand, hasn't it? Men have different gifts from women. Women have different gifts from men. There is some overlap. But on the other hand, there are things that men can do that women can't do, and things that women can do that men cannot do. We're not interchangeable. So to whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. Is there any support for this hero idea in Scripture? Yes, there is. I would take you to 2 Samuel 14, verses 25 to 27. No one in all Israel was so greatly admired for his beauty as Absalom. He was without flaw from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot. When he cut his hair, as he had to do every year, for he found it heavy, weighed 200 shekels by the royal standard. Three sons were born to Absalom, and a daughter named Tamar, who was a very beautiful woman. Now, why does the Holy Spirit of God preserve for us records of people's looks? Are they important? Yes. Yes, they are. It was God who made Absalom so greatly admired. He must have been some man without flaw from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot. But God didn't make everybody like Absalom, did he? It's interesting that it's mentioned also about David that he was handsome and ruddy, and that Saul was a head taller than anybody else in his kingdom, an outstanding man. And God had given these people gifts which were appropriate to the job that God wanted them to do. And God has given to each one of us exactly the gifts which are appropriate to the job he wants us to do. Now, it wasn't David's looks that made him a hero. In 1 Chronicles 11, we have a whole list of the heroes, David's heroes. And the New English Bible actually uses that word, heroes. Of David's heroes, these were the chief, men who lent their full strength to his government and with all Israel joined in making him king. And then mentioning David, he stood his ground. And then in verse 19, we have this expression, such were the exploits of the heroic three. Benaiah is mentioned because he went down into a pit and killed a lion on a snowy day. It was he also who killed an Egyptian, a giant, 7.5 feet tall, armed with a spear as big as the beam of a loom. He went to meet him with a club, snatched the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own weapon. Benaiah was a hero. And then there's a whole list in 1 Chronicles 11, verses 26 to 47, a list of names of David's valiant heroes. And then in chapter 12, these are the men who joined David at Ziklag while he was banned from the presence of Saul, son of Kish. They ranked among the warriors valiant in battle. They carried bows and could sling stones or shoot arrows with the left hand or the right. Verse 8, some Gadites also joined David at the stronghold in the wilderness. Valiant men trained for war who could handle the heavy shield and spear, grim as lions and swift as gazelles on the hills. But they're not the only ones that were mentioned. In addition to all these heroes, the doorkeepers of the tabernacle were also mentioned. The people who brought the goat's hair to make the hangings for the tabernacle, they were mentioned. Little people. Remember that Dorcas is mentioned in the New Testament because she made little coats. That was enough to put her in the Scriptures. Stephen, a man filled with the Holy Ghost, a man who became a great preacher and the first martyr, served tables, and Jesus washed feet. And have you heard of Mattathiah? How many of you know who Mattathiah the Levite was? Well, I wouldn't have known until yesterday. I just looked him up. And he's in there because he was chosen to be in charge of the preparation of the wafers because he was trustworthy. In charge of the preparation of the wafers because he was trustworthy. These were men of faith. How do we judge a person's worth? By education, distinction, job, money? Daniel was of the blood royal and of the nobility, a man of good looks, there's another one, bodily without fault, well-informed, intelligent, fit for service in the royal court. But why is Daniel remembered? Was it because he had royal blood? He's remembered because of his faithfulness, because of his obedience. If you want to read some great missionary biographies, here's a list for you. Missionary biographies: The Small Woman, about Gladys Aylward of China; A Foreign Devil in China, Nelson Bell, that was Ruth Graham's, Billy Graham's wife's father; William Borden, a book by Mrs. Howard Taylor. He was a very young man when he died. David Brainerd died at the age of 28, I think, missionary to the Indians in the eastern United States. Then I could mention my biography of Amy Carmichael, A Chance to Die; Isabel Kuhn of China, By Searching, Stones of Fire, Green Leaf in Drought Time; and Malamo of Africa. Well, that's a start. I hope that you will read some missionary biographies, especially you who need some heroes who are Christians.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.